From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, holidays are fun and festive and stressful. Getting everything done while interacting with family members can sometimes be a challenge, and it can maybe increase our stress levels a bit. Lori Strand is a counselor and the founder of Resiliency Rising in the Sun Valley region, and she sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, to talk about the stress of the holidays and how to handle it. So let's take a listen.
I think more than a few of us can relate to the stress that can be toxic, but then there are other levels of stress on a different level, if you will, that aren't so painful. In fact, they can be positive.
Yeah, yes. I know stress gets such a bad rap, rightfully so, but also there are just everyday positive stressors. It can be, you know, talking about the holidays, like you said, a kid waking up on Christmas morning, right? You can just see it in them that it is almost kind of stressful, this amount of excitement that's happening. Or, you know, this morning, getting up and getting ready for the day and people out the door for work and school, right? It takes a certain amount of stress just to be able to kind of function that way. There's also just tolerable stress, like stress that, you know, it might be a moment that we feel that spike in stress, but maybe with a couple of breaths or skillfully, we can kind of enter back into what feels more like our best self. And then, yes, there's that level of toxic stress, right? Relentless, kind of ongoing, that can really affect our physical, mental, emotional health.
Goodness knows I'm an amateur at this, but is it fair to say that for many of us, that toxic stress can be traced to our childhood?
Yeah, you know, there's such great research out there. There's the, you know, one of the largest longitudinal studies of its type called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, where it looks at these adverse childhood experiences one may experience. And the study goes to show these long-term negative mental and physical health problems that are corresponding to this. And so, you know, what I love about the work that I do is that we need biological interventions to support these and help ameliorate the effects of long-term stress that we've experienced.
Housing insecurity, dependence, right, on drugs or alcohol or dependence on toxic relationships. The holidays seem to magnify that. But to your point, I guess what I'm hearing is that it's worst when we try to do this alone.
Yeah. You know, I love to look. So the model that I really follow and believe in and have been trained on is through an organization called the Trauma Resource Institute. Elaine Miller Caris is the co-founder of these models and this organization. And the model, the community resiliency model, which is the one that I focus on as a community-based intervention for all people, really talks about stress and the human experience in terms of like having a resilient zone. I can be happy, but it's not my happy place, but I can experience sadness, anger, frustration, experiences with family, right? Stress in general, but I can manage it. And I know when I'm in that place. I know when I'm in my zone. I track that and have an understanding so that I know how to stay in that zone longer. Or sometimes we get bumped out of these zones, right? And we see this a lot during the holidays, this the most happiest time of the year, right? Well, it's not the most happy time of the year for many people, or even those of us that maybe have more security, whether it comes to food, job, housing, et cetera, like you mentioned. But we can all get bumped out of these zones where we may bump into having large expressions of anger or frustration or anxiety, or we may bump into that low zone experiencing feeling like we may be washed away in the rivers of sorrow. And so this community piece is when we can start looking at stress, having these common reactions, right? I don't look at you as a person who's failing as a human. George, maybe today your resilient zone is a little more shallow, right? And you might need some support in that way. And I talk about you as a human experiencing the day-to-day life stressors rather than you, something being wrong with you or pathologizing you.
Do you have any particular feelings on the reality that so many people use the holidays to make life-changing decisions you know, as simple as, oh, I need to quit my job, or I need to quit my marriage, or I need to get married as soon as possible. Do you have any particular feelings? Because the holidays can be this, I don't know, unnatural fuel in our engine that just quickly dissipates.
Holy moly. I'm going to have to think about that just for a moment. That's a really great question.
I mean, you must know people. I've lost count of how many people get engaged on Christmas Eve.
Yes,
and
totally.
and they've broken up by January 2nd.
Yeah, but I do think it's this concept or idea that we put in our head through this idea of the, like I said, the most wonderful time of the year, right? Or this magical thing. And I think we do put this, a lot of pressure on this time of year to hold magic or surprise or even that it magnifies things. You know, I just think of the clients that I saw just this past week coming off of Thanksgiving and spending time with their family, right? We have this thing that we're all going to show up as a family together and somehow all of our humanness is just going to slide away somehow or. So I think it magnifies those things. If I'm struggling with my partner on a day-to-day basis or, you know, during the holidays, it's not feeling perfect or great or magical, then it may feel like this is just the time, right, when it's over, it's done. I think that's such a great question, though. I think the stress for perfection in the holidays is real. You see it with the massive amount of consumerism amidst what's going on globally. Nothing is slowing down. So that pressure is real and I think felt by all of us.
In a previous life, and I haven't talked about this too much, but I worked with foster children for many years.
Oh, wow.
And I used to be the director of the largest group home for children in Idaho. But on Christmas Eve, I can't tell you how many of the biological parents who would show up on our doorstep with toys or whatever in hopes that Christmas will solve anything. And then they're totally off the radar 2 weeks later. And it would break my heart on the people who think that Christmas can solve anything.
Wow. Yeah. I often talk about resiliency it's an actionable word, right? When we talk about defining it, you know, sometimes it's such a buzzword that's being thrown around so much. You know, we hear like kids are resilient, which sometimes I feel like is another way of saying, I don't know what to do. Or we have all these resiliency trainings, right? I'm like, even my business is called Resiliency Rising, but resiliency really is this, it's something we show up to every day, right? It's a way of being in the world. It also takes into account, kind of like you're talking, that there is deep suffering in the world. Without acknowledgement of deep suffering, whether it be the massive inequalities that we see around, housing, et cetera, that we're seeing right now, especially in our state, how do we show up each day to kind of build that resiliency muscle that's within all of us? Nobody's going to, I mean, I certainly didn't wake up today and was like, I have reached, you know, the pinnacle of resiliency now. I am done trying. And so it's this constant way of being able to show up for ourselves, our community, our families. And the funny thing is you would think that it would just build even more during the holidays, and it's often the opposite.
I want to ask about something that just jumped off the page in a little bit of research on what you do. And that is, I want to make sure I have this right. Adversity is not destiny. I'm fascinated by that, but I just want to know more. What does that mean?
Yeah, this is a major concept of the Trauma Resource Institute's work. That is actually not my phrase. It's Elaine Miller Caris's phrase, who is, the creator and a mentor of mine. And I think it's something that drew me to doing this work is that we have all this information, right, about long-term stress impact on our physical and mental health and suicide rates and depression rates and, heart disease, cancer, et cetera. And at the same time, we also have a lot of information about how to support and ameliorate those effects by using biological-based interventions, such as the one that I I teach, both clinically and in the at the community level. And it really is about being able to begin to have a different relationship with stress, because it does impact our central nervous system so profoundly that we have to begin to learn to understand and read our nervous system and put in biological-based intervention tools that can help, you know, bring about that more rest, digest part of our central nervous system to begin healing those maybe automatic stress responses that can have, again, those long-term health impacts. Research is really supporting this. Again, I don't want to just stop with talking about adverse childhood experiences. There's some really beautiful research being done about positive childhood experiences and how the research isn't showing that it just is supporting long-term mental health benefits, but also showing that it is ameliorating the effects of adverse childhood experiences that maybe a child has gone through or experienced in their life. And so it's great for policy change. It's great to be looking at in our organizations and businesses and schools and communities and grocery stores of how are we building in these opportunities for childhood experiences to be positive straight out the gate.
We're speaking with Lori Strand, founder of Resiliency Rising. Lori, can you speak a bit about your community? So interesting, so nuanced, so many layers. Ketchum, the Wood River Valley, there's so much that's going on. The gap mm-hmm. between the haves and the have-nots, the challenges of housing, the overall economic challenges. And yet, there is so much beauty, right? It is framed by so much beauty. What an interesting community for you to be working in.
Yeah. Well, I'm a born and raised Idahoan. So I have deep roots and deep love for this state in general. I grew up in Twin Falls and have only spent much of my life in rural mountain towns across the West. All of this work, you know, my frame of viewing my work and the way I move in the world is very much framed with beautiful mountains and streams and lakes. And I do find this community so lovely and so heartbreaking all at the same time, right? So right. We have this beautiful backdrop as I'm looking out my window right now and it's snowing so beautifully. That isn't the case for everyone. And I think we see these, you know, higher often rates of suicide or sometimes mental health challenges, especially substance use, you know, working in a ski community, recreation focused community. There is this idea of I should be enjoying life all of the time. And everyone's always saying that, especially people that visit, wow, this is so amazing. I can't believe you get to live here and experience this. And a lot of people, it's not that experience. I think we see a lot with, you know, we have a lot of newcomers moving into our community who in the cool of winter, you know, the mm-hmm. excitement about moving to a new place, whether it be Peru or Mexico, wears off really quickly when you can't find reasonable wages for a job to support your family. You're living in an unstable housing, if you can even find that. You're commuting long distances. You're struggling to access resources in order to kind of make ends meet. And then on top of that, it's this beautiful place, but maybe you don't even really know or have access to recreating, right? Or even know how you would even begin to that process. So I think I spend a lot of time thinking about that. And I also am, you know, I have co-facilitated a group called the 5B Suicide Prevention Alliance for the past 6 years and find deep meaning in that work and working towards, you know, zero suicide in our community. And a lot of this doesn't come from, as a clinician, therapy is important in its time and place. And I believe so strongly in the power of community rising up to support one another, even more profoundly than the work that I can potentially do with one person. And so that's why so much of my work is focused on how do we create common language and understanding around stress, whatever it looks like in our community and individuals, and how it's how it is a normal part of everyday life, and then how can we begin to support one another, especially as we see, you know, across the country. But I know in our state, we are struggling so much with availability of clinicians. And so we have to begin thinking outside of the box as to how do we provide support to one another. Again, I'm not saying we need to replace clinicians or there's not a real time and place for it, but I also do believe that coming out of COVID, we're starting to have different conversations. We also know the science about our nervous system and how, you know, George, you and I can have a conversation that can help build your and my resiliency at the same time through some very, very basic education. So my passion lies in, yeah, how do we get tools, support to people who are going to have a really hard time accessing it in general and may not want to as well, may feel a stigma against trying to access something. So creating a community type conversation around just the normal impacts of stress is really where I would like to go and am going in our community and businesses and organizations and schools and conversations in general.
That was Lori Strand, a counselor and the founder of Resiliency Rising in the Sun Valley region. She was speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, about the stress of the holidays. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.